From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
Chainsaws on the trees, something everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Every week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news tonight, you'll hear about folks who are killing the planet and folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, telephone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please go get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down all the information, because this is not couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I urge you to take the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, making phone calls. When you aren't out in the woods up in a tripod or a tree sit or locked down at the road blockade, if you have information, announcements, or comments for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact addresses later on in the show. And we'll start out with some announcements. Kitua Earth First wants to announce their summer solstice campout and walk for justice. It starts June 21st, runs through June 27th at the Tellico Dam in East Tennessee. And they're going to walk to Knoxville to protest the Tennessee Valley Authority's exploitation and genocide. Nuclear weapons, waste production, stolen land over pollution. What's under pollution, huh? Desecration of indigenous cultures and rights, and Norman Zagrossi's frame-up of Leonard Peltier. They're going to rally at the TVA headquarters in Knoxville at the end of the walk on Sunday, June 27th. You want more information? Contact JJ at 828-298-1251. That's JJ at 828-298-1251. Sounds like it's going to be great stuff. Check it out if you happen to be in Tennessee. All right. Coming up in Colorado, in the San Juan Mountains, June 21st through June 28th is the 19th annual Round River Rendezvous. What is the Round River Rendezvous? Well, it's the annual gathering of the Earth First Tribe. Lots of folks are going to be there. It's in a beautiful spot, just it looks like a mile or two outside of the South San Juan Wilderness. Might be some bears, you never know. All kinds of stuff going on. It will be at altitude. There'll be the rendezvous is near the Great Continental Divide at around 10,000 feet. So there is all kinds of stuff. Please bring $25 to help defray costs and help pay for the various expenses of Earth First gatherings. How do you get there? Well, check the Earth First Journal Beltane issue. In page 16, there's detailed instructions on how to get there from several places north of Santa Fe, sort of southwest of Alamosa, and sort of east of Durango, in case you're trying to figure out where it is. All right, once again, the Round River Rendezvous, number 19, June 21st through June 28th, 1999. If you'd like further information, please write to P.O. Box 3412, Tucson, Arizona, 85722. You better hurry up, because they probably already left. They're getting ready for things here. It's only 4 days away. You might try calling 520-620-1839. 520-620-1839 for information about the Round River Rendezvous. Other stuff coming up a little farther in the future in September is the Forest Reform Rally. Wild Utah Forest Campaign, a project of American Lands, will be co-hosting the 13th annual Forest Reform Rally with the Forest Reform Network September 10th. Through 12th, rally will be north of Salt Lake City on the Wasatch Cache National Forest. on the border of the High Uintas Wilderness Area, in the midst of a beautiful old-growth spruce fir forest and surrounded by a large lake. Well, if you're surrounded by a large lake, you're either very wet, on a boat, or on an island. National Forest Reform Rally's annual forum, and if you'd like further information, contact Susan at 801-539-1355. That's 801-539-1355. Or email at wufc@xmission.com. That's wufc@xmission.com. Let's move off into action. Oh, here's another announcement here. Action Camp in Washington in the Gifford Pinchot Forest being held July 9th through July 12th. Action Camp in Washington. For information, dial 360-867-9054. That's 360-867-9054. Or email to Kim2, K-I-M, the number 2, at chickmail.com. That's C-I-C-H-I-C-K-M-A-I-L.com. Kim2 at chickmail.com for information about the Action Camp in Washington, 9th through 12th of July. Alrighty. And as I've heard several times on the radio today, tomorrow, June 18th, happening pretty much everywhere, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, capitals around the world, and especially close to Earth First Radio here in the greater California central area, is San Francisco Reclaim the Streets, June 18th. And the action will take place starting at 11:30 a.m. at Justin Herman Plaza in San Francisco and various places around the world. Bring your own little radio or boombox and tune in to 87.9 FM in San Francisco for the RTS Micro Radio broadcast. Further information, try 415-339-7801 or just get yourself up to San Francisco tomorrow, whatever way you can. Also coming up are mark your calendars for scoping meetings and public comment. As a result of lawsuits, the National Park Service has announced that they will finally and belatedly initiate the process for developing a Merced River Management Plan. The River Management Plan is the most crucial component and the backbone of any planning for Yosemite Valley. Unfortunately, all this was previously completely missing. We need to give the National Park Service a clear message that the strongest protection for the river corridor should be the result of a river management plan. By the way, the Park Service has already started to widen the road. The Park Service will hold 4 meetings starting June 22nd in San Francisco at Fort Mason, Building 201 from 6 to 8 p.m., June 23rd in Modesto at the Mallard Inn, 1720 Sisk Road from 6 to 8 p.m., June 24th in Mariposa, California at the Best Western Yosemite Way Station, 4999 Highway 140 from 6 to 8 p.m., and in June 28th in Yosemite Valley at the Visitor Center East Auditorium, again from 6 to 8 p.m. If you'd like further information, then you should contact Joyce of the Sierra Club Yosemite Committee at yojo, Y-O-J-O, at batnet.com, yojo at batnet.com. Let's get into action here. In news from almost a week ago, as we indicated last year, about 2:45 in the afternoon, government-hired tree climbers began attempting to remove several Eagle Creek tree sitters from their platforms 150 feet above the ground in the Eagle Creek watershed. The tree sitters have been occupying an old-growth grove slated for logging in the Eagle timber sale since late April and were discovered by the Forest Service on May 14th, despite the timber purchaser's willingness to back out of the contract. The Forest Service continues to insist that the area be logged. After photographing the tree sitters and studying the situation in frustration, the climbers retreated, unable to remove the sitters for the time being. The existence of the old-growth forest slated for cutting directly contradicts Mount Hood National Forest statements that no old-growth will be logged in the Eagle Creek drainage. The area represents some of the closest old-growth and unlogged native forests left in the Portland area. In addition to containing old-growth forests, the Eagle Sales contain 500 acres of unprotected wilderness that groups such as Oregon Natural Resources Council, Cascadia Forest Alliance, and the Oregon Wildlife Federation say should be added to the adjacent Salmon Huckleberry Wilderness Area. These timber sales were pushed through in late 1996 while environmental laws were suspended during the so-called salvage rider, While the Forest Service has assured the public there is nothing wrong with the sales, they will degrade water quality and are clearly illegal in violation of the Mount Hood Forest Plan and the Northwest Forest Plan. Because significant portions of Eagle Creek watershed have been clear-cut in the past, private companies and the Forest Service, the Mount Hood Forest Plan requires no more of the watershed to be logged. The Northwest Forest Plan requires the Forest Service to choose the most protective standards, when attempting to log in sensitive drinking watersheds like Eagle Creek, but they chose lower standards and are logging three times what their own scientists have recommended as sustainable. The Eagle Sales contain the headwaters of the South Fork of Eagle Creek, a key source of clean water for the Clackamas River, which provides drinking water for 175,000 Oregonians from Oregon City, Lake Oswego, West Lynn, and elsewhere. Forest Service activities in the South Fork of Eagle Creek are only allowed to maintain or enhance water quality according to the Northwest Forest Plan. However, the agency is logging 28 million board feet from the area in 2 years, three times what their own scientists recommend is sustainable per decade. But the Mount Hood Forest is a rogue agency in attempting to cut three times what their own scientists say. Hey, I love copy that's repetitive. The purchaser of the sales, Vanport Manufacturing, told Oregon Public Broadcasting on May 19th that we would be prepared to return the sales, but obviously we don't need it anymore. The Forest Service has so far refused to cancel the sales, and the protests, which include two arrests at the road blockade on June 2nd, have continued. The activists plan to stay in the trees as long as necessary to get the timber sales canceled. There will be a rally Saturday, June 19th, with speakers, music, and hikes. So if you're in the Portland, Eugene area, check that out. And here's some later news. Three people camping near a locked gate at the Eagle timber sales were attacked by a mob of angry people hostile to environmentalists. The mob blamed environmentalists and tree huggers for Forest Service's choice to lock the gate leading to the Eagle timber sale area. They broke a car window and hurled rocks and bottles at three frightened campers. One of the campers at the scene called the situation a hate crime. Fortunately, the attackers were eluded, and although property damage was done, no one was hurt. The mob first illegally built a large fire in the middle of the Forest Road 4615 and began throwing bottles and rocks at a car parked near the gate, which belonged to one of the campers, breaking the driver's side window. Next, the mob stormed the nearby camp, making threats of physical and sexual violence and throwing more rocks and bottles at the campers, who were forced to flee and hide for their safety in the dark forest. The campers had heard about the Cascadia Forest Alliance's Eagle Creek tree sit and were planning to carry supplies of food and water 6 miles inland behind the locked gate to donate on Sunday. As they were hiding in fear of their lives, the campers used a cell phone to call local law enforcement authorities for help. About an hour later, Clackamas County Sheriff's Deputy James Rhodes arrived on the scene and was followed by Mount Hood Forest Service Officer Christine Lynch. Several citations for littering were apparently issued while a car belonging to one of the mob was towed away. Cascadia Forest Alliance blames Forest Service misinformation for the climate of hate that led up to the attacks. The Forest Service has been spreading misinformation about the Eagle timber sales in an effort to make numerous environmental groups working to cancel them look extreme and unreasonable, said Ivan Mulaski of the Alliance. Groups calling for the cancellation of the Eagle timber sales include the Sierra Club, Oregon Wildlife Federation, Oregon Natural Resources Council, in addition to the Cascadia Forest Alliance. And we won't read the rest of this, I checked the email today and didn't have any further news about Eagle Creek, so let's assume that they're still up there and doing what they need to do to protect the forest. I did get this email. It's a petition for a local criminal investigation of the bombing of Judy Berry, and it's about time. You can find this petition on email, and I will tell you how to find it after I get done reading you the petition. It starts, "We demand an official, local, impartial Mendocino County investigation into the bombing of Judy Berry because, 1. The confession of the Lord's Avenger, written by someone who described the bomb's construction in exact detail, announced that the bomb was set in Mendocino County, a crime in this county's jurisdiction. 2. 9 years after the bombing, no one has produced any evidence that Judy Berry or Daryl Cherney had knowingly transported the bomb, nor has any evidence come to light that the bomb was planted anywhere but in Mendocino County, as stated by the Lord's Avenger. 3. The bomber or bombers, are still at large, presenting a threat to public safety in Mendocino County and elsewhere. 4. There is no statute of limitations on attempted murder. 5. Private investigations have turned up important evidence about the circumstances surrounding the bombing and require the extent of an official investigation and a framework within which this new evidence can be presented and recorded. 6. Mendocino County Sheriff Tony Craver and District Attorney Norman Vroman have given their word to several county residents concerned about the case that they, the sheriff and the district attorney, would each assign an investigator from their respective departments to look into the evidence on the case, but so far no investigators from either department have been named. 6. Numerous witnesses, private investigators, and journalists have declared their willingness to cooperate fully with an official, local, and impartial investigation, and these resources should be given the opportunity to present their evidence. 7. The likelihood of witnesses still available and yet unknown who may shed light on the bombing case, we ask that a privately funded reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the bomber be posted. 8. The Sheriff's Department plays a central role in criminal investigations in this county. While the District Attorney's Office decides whether the evidence merits a prosecution, we ask that Sheriff Tony Carver notify the public which deputy or detective he has assigned to accept evidence in this case. 9. When this evidence has been collected by the sheriff and turned over to the DA Vroman for possible criminal indictments, we call on the Mendocino County Grand Jury to make this case a part of their oversight. And 10. Numerous theories about the bombing case have been advocated, including a criminal conspiracy on the part of the FBI, timber companies, and religious right-wingers. Also, the possibility that someone close to Judy Berry may have committed this crime. We ask that all the working hypotheses be considered impartially and without bias, on an equal and fair basis on the merits of the evidence. And 11, the public has a right to know the answer to the question, who bombed Judy Berry? If you agree with this petition, why don't you go and send an email to the Earth First Media Center. That's efmc@asis.com. That's efmc@asis.com. Or send mail to Earth First Media Center, P.O. Box 324, Redway, California, 95560. That's the Earth First Media Center, P.O. Box 324, Redway, California, 95560. Be sure to include a stamped, self-addressed envelope so that you may receive a copy of the petition by return mail. Wilderness, the Leopold Vision. At the urging of Aldo Leopold, 75 years ago last week, the U.S. Forest Service established the first administrative wilderness in the Gila National Forest of New Mexico. What better occasion than this date to renew our efforts to protect what is left of wild America? In fact, wildlands advocates have not waited until this 75th anniversary of Aldo Leopold's innovation to start a wilderness revival. Wilderness and parks campaigns are underway in Utah, Colorado, California, Nevada, Washington, Oregon, Montana, Maine, and other states. Although the Board of American Lands, the Western Ancient Forest Campaign, embraced the idea of Big Wild almost 2 years ago, it has incubated slowly. As a result of a recent gathering of conservation leaders in Salt Lake City, however, a steering committee will be formed to advance the idea of Big Wilderness. There is a far from complete agreement on the idea of Big Wilderness as a legislative strategy, however. Preparing thoughtful state or regional wilderness proposals and generating grassroots support is a prerequisite to any legislative plan. Regardless of the specific legislative vehicle or vehicles, there is a strong support for a national campaign to call attention to the American people of the values of wildlands, the threats to their survival, and the need for wilderness on a scale never imagined before. I like the vision of Bill Meadows of the Wilderness Society for 200 million more acres of wilderness, virtually tripling the size of our current wilderness system. The only issue is how to get there before these lands are lost to more logging, roads, or off-road vehicles. Dr. Brian Horregi of Calgary, Alberta, is touring the Northwest for a few days to educate U.S. audiences on the problems facing grizzly bears in Canada. Part of his message is that we cannot count on Canada to protect bears and that we must take personal responsibility ourselves for setting aside the wildlands in the United States that bears need to survive. At the same time, Dr. Horischi reminds his audiences that in the U.S. we are lucky to have the Wilderness Act, the Endangered Species Act, and other laws that citizens of Canada do not have. Yes, we have these good laws, but they are going to implement and apply them based on the understanding that scientists like Dr. Horischi are sharing about what is necessary to save bears and wolves and lynx in today's world. The message, as we interpret it, is that nothing short of a major wilderness will get the job done. On this 75th anniversary of the first wilderness, why not set a goal of wilderness protection for all of the remaining wildlands in our nation? Our work to protect the wildlife and wild places will remain at risk today is perhaps the best way we could honor Aldo Leopold's vision. And speaking of the Forest Service, a new GAO report on Northwest Forest Plan entitled Ecosystem Planning, the Northwest Forest and Interior Columbia River Basin Plans Demonstrate Improvements in Land Use Planning, points out that while logging has declined, quote, agencies created unrealistic expectations for relatively high timber harvests. The report noted the Northwest Forest Plan requires an extensive monitoring program, and failure to do so could expose the Forest Service to further litigation. If you're interested in reading this report, go to www.gao.gov/daybook/990526.htm. That webpage again is www.gao.gov/daybook/990526.htm. Or if you'd like a hard copy, you can call the General Accounting Office at 202-512-6000 and asking for GAO/RCED-99-64. Once again, that phone number is 202-512-6000, and what you want is GAO/RCED-99-64. Gloria Flora, supervisor of the Humboldt-Toyabe National Forest in Nevada, says that the nation is withdrawing more than it is investing from their public lands. At a meeting of the Greater Yellowstone Coalition, she charged that the Forest Service and industry have seen the forests only as valuable once they are extracted and sold. Flora called for timber companies that log national forests to compensate the public not only for the timber they take, but also for the long-term environmental costs of logging. If they're affecting the stream, they ought to pay to fix the stream, says Flora. If you'd like more information, contact Scott at 916-442-3155. That's Scott, his number, 916-442-3155, or send your email to sierra_campaign@friendsoftheriver.org. That email address again is sierra_campaign@friendsoftheriver.org. Dear Earth First, we are struggling to stop the largest ever turnover of treaty land currently under federal control to the state of South Dakota per Title VI of the 1999 Omnibus Appropriations Act enacted in October 1998. There is a spiritual camp on the La Framboise Island just south of Pierre, South Dakota, on the Missouri River, and five tribes are working to stop this transfer to South Dakota, which has a terrible record of destroying the environment. The land to be transferred is delicate and contains cultural remains and burials. All will be more in danger than now if the minimal federal protections are lost, which will happen if the transfer to the state of South Dakota goes through. Please consider adding your voice to our protest. And you can contact these folks at their webpage at www.fireonprairie.org. That's www.fireonprairie, that's all one word, FireOnPraire.org. Well, that's it for the news right now. To get news announcements or comments from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email at cruzef@cruzio.com. That's CRUZEF. @cruzio.com, or you can send letters, donations, CDs, cassettes, whatever, as long as it's friendly, to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. And please, do send those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance so Uncle Dennis can make sure that they're heard on time, okay? If you'd like more in-depth news and information about the Earth First Movement, subscribe to the Earth First Journal there at P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. That's the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. Earth First Radio is broadcast live on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM every Thursday at 8 p.m., or you can listen to Earth First Radio anytime on your computer. At the World Wide Web, point your browser to radioforall.web.net. That's radioforall.web.net. The 4 is the number 4. You'll need a sound card, but the software you need is free on the website. Earth First Radio is being rebroadcast on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. If you found us on the web, please ask your local station to download and rebroadcast Earth First Radio. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from his CD Keep It Wild. Earth First Radio is affiliated with the Earth First Radio Network. I'm Uncle Dennis. Thank you for listening, and please tune in again. And speaking of Daryl Cherney, we're going to go to one of his older cassettes, and that's called Off His Timber Cassette. This little ditty is called Earth First Made.
There once was an Earth First Maid who never was afraid of the chainsaw boys with their phallic toys and their bulldozers that cut the grade. The one thing that she liked was a tree that had been spiked, and when the security goons came round, she never could be found. No, you can't scare me. I'm working for the forest. I'm working for the forest. I'm working for the forest. No, you can't scare me. I'm working for the forest. I'm working for the forest till the day I die. Her heart would really ache when they'd plant a survey stake. So when knives would fall, she'd pull them all and chuck them in the middle of a lake. Her battery-powered drill made a sound so sweet and shrill. And as their radiators, their engines would be tweaked. No, you can't scare me. I'm working for the forest. I'm working for the forest. I'm working for the forest. No, you can't scare me. I'm working for the forest. I'm working for the forest till the day I die. She could trust to turn a logging truck to rust was a can of coke right down the choke. One turn of the key and watch it bust to defend her mother dear from the rapist profiteers. But to give up now would be the worst when you know the earth comes first. No, you can't scare me. I'm working for the forest. I'm working for the forest.